time, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Overtime here on Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. I will be your host once again, Cole McCormick, running the board for hour one this time. We meant to do it last night, but she did it the entire show. Thank you for your service. Julia Ramsey with me as well. And intern Matt is back for another night. How are y'all doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, having a great day.
Good.
It's so nice outside. Can we just talk about this weather? I mean, I don't mean to be that person.
That was going to be my next point. It has been a beautiful day all day. I don't know where it came from. This might be...
It's like 75 degrees.
Yeah, this might be Mother Nature's way of going from cold to very hot and now going back to feeling good.
Yeah.
Might be our reward for sweating so much a couple weeks ago.
I love it.
I do too. But let's see. Let's go ahead and get started. Did y'all watch Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs last night?
I watched a little bit of it.
Okay.
I watched the Blues get the first two goals in the first period, and then after that, I wasn't that interested.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched like intently up until they got up 4-0, and then I was kind of just like, "There's no way."
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I watched the first, I guess, just the first two, and then after the third one, I was like, "Okay, this is over. Good for them. Good for St. Louis." But
it's pretty cool.
It was. It really was. First one ever. I forgot how long they've been around. I want to say 50 or 60-something years.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly, but somewhere in that ballpark. But, yeah, congratulations to them. The St. Louis Blues getting the first Stanley Cup title ever. As we mentioned, the Blues went up, let's see, they went up 2-0 early in the first period. Let's see, second period, no goals. And then by the third period, they went up 4-0, and then Boston did add one there towards – well, not towards the end, but later on in the third period. But you knew almost right away from the first period. They go up 2-0 that quick. It's not looking good for Boston.
Nope.
It's not looking good for them, and it proved to be right. Let's see if I can get who
the
got these
Blues
goals.
Goalie was unbelievable.
Phenomenal, yeah. I did see a stat on him. I believe I think he is one of or the only rookie to win the Stanley Cup in his rookie season.
Yeah,
really?
I think that's correct.
I think I saw he had the most postseason wins out of a rookie.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, the only rookie to do something like that. So he obviously has a bright future ahead of him. Going back to the goals, O'Reilly got it started for the Blues. Scored just under, let's see, at 16:47. And then just 3 minutes later, they get another one. I don't know how to say this. Pietrangelo? Is that how you say his name?
I guess.
Pietrangelo? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he scored. None in the second. Moved to the third. Two more, Sanford and Sheen. Add the other two. And then, of course, the Boston one. I'll tell you what. I'm a known fan of St. Louis. That is my baseball team. A big Cardinal fan.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you know, I don't care too much about the sports teams, especially when they had the Rams. The Blues, never been a huge hockey fan. When the Preds are good, I'll watch, but that's about it. They don't have a basketball team, do they? No. Missouri didn't have a basketball team.
Nope.
Outside of University of Missouri.
Yep.
So, you know, the Cardinals are what I pay attention to, but now the Blues. I'll tell you what. I was proud of the Blues last night. I was a member of Blue Nation last night.
Really?
I was. I was very happy for them. From everything from the first Stanley Cup title ever. Big fan of that. I love making history. And then I can't remember her name, bless her heart, but the little girl that has that disease going on or the cancer.
Yeah,
I can't remember what her name is. Starts with an L. Should have done my research. But she was there. She got to hoist the cup herself and kiss it. That was that was moving.
That was pretty awesome.
And then they flash back to St. Louis because the game was up in Boston. They flash back to St. Louis. The Enterprise Center, I believe, is what they call where the Blues play. That
pouring
was packed
rain.
Out. And then even Busch Stadium, where my Cardinals play, wasn't completely full, but a lot of fans there in the rain watching at Busch Stadium. So the whole city of St. Louis, congratulations to them. A big night, and I'm sure a very big next couple of days coming up for the entire city and the entire Blues team. I was moved last night. I watched the beginning, as I said, and then kind of turned it back towards the end just to see, you know, the final seconds tick away and the Blues kind of celebrate. And I felt like I was one of them.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched a Blues game yet until last night, but I felt like I have a lot invested in them. I don't know why. It was weird, but I did. It was almost like my team won. I wish my team would win something, but we're still waiting on that.
Yeah, at least you got one team that's got a championship recently.
So the St. Louis Blues, I'll tell you what, they're in the two spot right behind my Preds. They're taking the two spot.
Yeah.
What did y'all think of the game last night?
It was cool. I saw that there's like images of the people at Busch Stadium, and it's just I remember I was in Nashville and the Preds were making the Cup run, and that Broadway was a buzz.
Yeah.
People were outside watching the games, and it kind of made me think of that and how much fun it must have been just to be out there. And like it was raining, and they were still like 20,000 people
rain.
At Busch.
Pouring rain. Yeah, it's not like it was a light sprinkle.
Yeah.
Like it was pouring rain.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And it's their first one, which is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was really happy.
It's pretty crazy to see a whole city come together like that for a team.
Yeah.
And it was against Boston, too. And
that's what I was going to say.
That's another thing,
The fact that it was at Boston made it even more.
I'm with you all on that. I don't have as much hate in my heart for Boston sports as many people do. I understand where it comes from, but to me personally, Boston hasn't really done anything. I mean, except beating the Cardinals a couple times. That's about it. But I can understand. It seems like they win at least one championship every year, depending on, you know, what sport it is. So, you know, the Patriots just won one. So it's good to have the Bruins go down. Let's see. The little girl's name, I just had it up here.
Layla
Anderson.
Yes.
Yeah, she was there. Very moving video. Got her championship hat and shirt. Hoisting the cup. Kissing the cup. You can't beat it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let's see. I'm trying to see if it has on here how many years it's been. I want to say about 52. I think it's correct, but nobody's saying so. But yeah, congratulations to the city of St. Louis. Congratulations to the Blues. Can they do it again next year? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But they are champions for the next year. Let's go ahead and move on to we might have another champion crowned tonight.
Yep.
The Raptors and the Warriors kickoff, good grief. Tip off game 6 tonight over in Oakland, Oracle Arena. What do y'all think about tonight? Do you think the injury of Kevin Durant can fuel the Warriors to a win and force a game 7? Or do you think Kawhi and company have enough in them to go into Oracle again and beat the Warriors? They've already done it twice in this series, so they've proven they can do that. But they didn't have this kind of injury hanging over their heads as the Warriors and this kind of motivation. So do you think that changes anything? Or do you think the Raptors go ahead and wrap it up tonight?
I mean, the Warriors, this is an elimination game, and this is the last game regardless that's going to be in Oracle because they're moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think Draymond's going to get the boys juiced up. I think Steph and Clay are going to be shooting well and whatnot, and everyone's going to rally behind KD. But I still think the Raptors are going to win. Kawhi has been unreal on the road in these playoffs, and I just think if KD didn't play in that game on, Monday?
Monday night.
Warriors lose.
I think so, too.
Yeah. He got hurt early on, but those 12 points or whatever he put up were the game-winning points for them, as far as I'm concerned.
No, yeah. I mean, he had 11, and they needed all 11 of those points. Now, I don't want to sit here and say if he didn't play, somebody else wouldn't have stepped up in his place or another one of his teammates wouldn't have stepped up. But when you look at it, they won by 1 point, and they needed every point from KD. So does it suck he's hurt? Yeah. Did he need to play and give him those 11 points? Yeah, because if he didn't, the Raptors are champions right now, and we're all sitting at home waiting for the NBA season to start again. So, I kind of agree with you. I think I half-heartedly agree. I think the Raptors are kind of my favorite tonight, But then again, I mean, you saw how the team, the Warriors, came together after KD went down over in Toronto. Getting in front of their home fans tonight, you know that place is going to be loud and rambunctious. As you mentioned, the last game in Oracle ever because they're moving. It'll be added added emotion to because of that as well. So it might be the perfect storm for the Warriors to tie it up and force a Game 7. And if that happens, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to hate it. Because if there's one thing I do like about the NBA and all of professional sports, I love a good Game 7.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons I tuned in last night to Stanley Cup. Because, like I said, St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins, I could care less who wins or lost, even though I came out a Blues fan.
But going into it, it's for a championship.
Yeah. Winner take all. That's what I like. Game 7, winner take all. You're going to get your best shot from everybody. So I'm kind of hoping the Warriors force the Game 7. But the other part of me think, well, Toronto might just go ahead and shut it down tonight. Kawhi will probably, you know, flip some kind of switch and play out of his mind again. But we'll have to wait and see. Julia, what do you think?
Yeah, I think tonight's going to be another close one, given the factors we've already mentioned last game in Oakland and the team rallying behind Kevin Durant going down. So I think it's going to be super close. I think it's going to go up until the end. And I do think that the Warriors are going to force a Game 7.
Do you really?
I do.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, about every hour I go back and forth on who I think is going to win. I mean, like I said, like you said, Matt, Kawhi's been playing out of his mind on the road in the playoffs. That team just seems to be so in sync. But then on the other hand, you have the Warriors with this extra juice to play for KD. Mm. We're playing in the last game of Oracle Arena. If we win, we're going to Game 7 for another title. So I don't know. I think it's a toss-up. The spread right now is in favor of, let's see, the Warriors, just at 2.5.
Yeah.
So it could be another very, very close game, which I'm sure it will be. I don't think either side is going to blow the other one away.
No.
Unless Steph and Klay just cannot miss from three.
Yeah, they're going to have to be – they're going to have to come up big tonight again.
That's the thing. I could see it either being close or the Warriors blowing them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Raptors would win. It's not going to shock me if the Warriors win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would shock me if the Raptors blew the Warriors out, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and it wouldn't – like, I could see the Warriors blowing out the Raptors. Just I could see Steph and Klay just going off and
– I think so, too.
And whatnot, and them not being able to stop them.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that hot start from Toronto – oh, what game was that? When they was that the first game in Oakland they got out to that big lead, or was it the second? I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of the two that they won out there just last week. They got off to that big start, that big lead, and then we saw Golden State kind of come back.
I want to say it was the second.
Yeah, I think it was game two.
I kind of think it was two.
Yeah.
I
kind of think it was two. But nevertheless, we've seen that. Will it happen again? I don't know. I don't think it will, but I kind of hope it does just to go ahead and get this over with. I would love to see Toronto get their first championship, just like the Blues got theirs last night, 2019, full of new champions. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see. The Warriors are definitely one of the best teams, if not the best team of all time. So we'll have to wait and see. That is, let's see, what time is it? That's tonight at 9 over in Oakland on ABC, just in time for us to get home and turn it on.
Yeah.
I like the 9 o'clock starts, and then I don't, because if it's a game I really want to watch, I'm staying up forever. I'm staying up till midnight, 1 a.m. sometimes. But then again, since the show does run till 8 o'clock, gives us time, get something to eat. For me, I have to take my dog outside, let him do his business, let him eat, go inside, turn on the TV, catch the tip.
Yeah.
So I like it to that extent, but to everything else kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Late tips are rough for me because I like my sleep.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm a big sleep person. Let's go ahead and take our first break of the program. Coming up, a lot of Tennessee news and notes. A new NCAA basketball scandal to get into. Recruiting, of course, later on. Tennessee's freshman class on the football team, their numbers have been released. It was released last week, but we did not get into it. And another SEC school has announced that they will be selling beer and wine at home games. We'll get into all that and much more for the rest of the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You are listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the show. When we left for the break, I told you we would get into some Tennessee news and notes. Before we do that, our own AJ Cook at The Real AJ Cook on Twitter. Do not get him confused with the fake one on Twitter.
He's the real one.
He is the real one. He has wrapped up, which I believe he's wrapped up. He might have a part five. But part four of his reliving the most heartwarming Tennessee wins of the past 10 years is out. It actually came out a few days ago, and I meant to get to it yesterday, but we ran out of time. So we'll do it today. If you have been following and reading his stuff, great stuff, by the way, AJ. Love all your work, buddy. Haven't seen you in a minute. You need to come around more often. But he did one about the heart-crushing losses, and now he is doing a series of heartwarming wins. And we like wins more than losses, even though we don't get a lot around here. So let's get right into it. AJ starts by saying, well, we finally made it. Through the good and the bad, this is the last stop on our trip down memory lane, and I hope you've enjoyed reliving it all as much as I have. Through the crippling, relentless sadness of the 2015 football season to the 2 weeks in 2016, we were on top of the world. From embarrassing Big Ten teams and bowl games to the heartbreak of bowing out of the NCAA tournament against Loyola Chicago. And all of us as Vol fans are still Vol fans. And then in all caps, we still out here.
Yeah, we are.
We are. That is true. First game he mentions in his last part of heartwarming wins, Georgia. But Georgia basketball 2018.
Oh, yes.
In February of 2018, Tennessee limped out of Athens with a loss to the Bulldogs. It was a crucial loss late in the season that severely hampered Tennessee's chances of winning its first SEC regular season title since 2008. The rematch a few weeks later was for all the marbles. Win and Tennessee gets a share of the title, lose and they get nothing. Tennessee trailed for the majority of the game, and it was starting to look like Georgia's five-game winning streak against Tennessee would continue, but a strong second half from Tennessee on the defensive end of the floor led to Georgia only scoring 19 second-half points. I forgot about that. That is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
19 points in the entire second half.
Yeah, yeah. We shut them down.
Schofield, I was at that game, and I remember Schofield just was an animal out there.
Yeah. He's an animal.
That game was so much fun to be at.
I'm going to miss him so much.
Yeah.
AJ continues, meanwhile, Lamonte Turner and Admiral Schofield were lighting it up on offense. The dagger came in the final minute when Schofield got the ball near the top of the key with the score sitting at 62-61 Tennessee. Schofield grabbed the reins and led the team to the promised land. He dribbled, he spun, he faded, and nailed one of the prettiest shots Thompson Bowling Arena has seen in a long time. He followed his circus shot with two more free throws to close out the game, and Tennessee finished on a 9-0 run. In one of the most improbable basketball seasons in recent memory, lowly Tennessee, who was picked to finish 13th in the preseason polls, had won the SEC title. That still is absolutely phenomenal.
Crazy.
I know this last year for Tennessee, you know, hitting number one for a month, you know, being one of the absolute best teams, not only in America this year, but probably in Tennessee basketball history.
Yes.
Great as it was, I'll tell you what, that stat right there, being picked 13th in the SEC in 2018
mm-hmm.
and then winning a share of the SEC title, I don't want to say it's better than this whole last year, but it's close.
It is close.
Because we got nothing out of this last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we were number one. That's about all we got.
Mm-hmm.
We lost the SEC title, which we probably shouldn't have, but we did. Got bumped in, what, the third round? The third round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Sweet 16.
Got bumped out of winning the SEC tournament championship again. So, yeah, we had a great team. We had a great season this last year. But I'll tell you what, that one's going to stick with me for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything can really top that unless Tennessee ultimately does win the SEC tournament title or goes on to win an Natty, which, of course, we all hope that. But as of right now, that's one of the I think that's the top thing, one of the top things at least Coach Barnes has done since he's been here.
Yes.
Go from 13 to 1. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
Hungry dogs run faster.
That's true. And then the final, Tennessee 66, Georgia 61. We move on to football. Auburn, this last year, 2018. Of course, we all remember it. One of the greatest games I've ever watched. AJ starts by saying the Tennessee-Auburn rivalry is one of the most official, unofficial rivalries in college sports. Every time the two schools meet in any sport, it seems like there winds up to be talking points after the game. This game was no different. In Jeremy Pruitt's first season in charge of the Vols, Tennessee was struggling to get really anything going against Power 5 teams. They lost by a combined score of 125-47 in their first three Power 5 games. Good grief. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. Yeah. That's terrible.
That is not good.
To make matters worse, it looked like the trend would continue after a road game against top 25 Auburn. It did not, thanks to one of Jarrett Garantano's best games as of all and some of the best team defense Tennessee has played in years. It also didn't help that Pruitt knew what play was coming before the ball was even snapped. And then he adds Caleb No on Twitter of WVLT, his tweet in here. Caleb said, Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt is a defensive mind, right? Watch this play from Auburn's final offensive drive. At the beginning, you can hear Pruitt yell, Baylen, it's coming to your guy.
I remember that.
Sure enough, it did. Yeah, that was incredible. It looked like it was just somebody, it may have been him, I don't know, but it looked like somebody just had their phone out, videoing Coach Pruitt, and you see Baylen in the background, and that's what you hear. He's coming to you, and lo and behold, they do.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary how much he knows about this game, which I like it, you know, because he's on our side. But then again, you're like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
Which, you know, if he's been around football long enough, SEC football, and of course beating Auburn at every stop he's been on, I'm sure he would know Gus Malzahn's tendencies and his system by now, but still. It is still very impressive. And then, of course, the score, Tennessee 30, Auburn 24.
Great game.
Fantastic game.
I was at that
you
game,
were.
And it was so much fun.
You were at that game?
So much fun.
I'll tell you
I'm
what.
I'm so glad I went.
I'll tell you what, Julia. I think we as a station, we're going to have to talk to Nate, but we as a station need to start sending you to these big-time road games.
I know.
Because not only were you there last year, she was there for the Jennings Hail Mary in Athens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm telling you what, you might be the good luck charm we need here at the station and at the football team. I don't know.
Yep.
Going to have to talk to Nate about
that. Me and my dad have been trying to go to an SEC road game each year, and we were there for 2016 Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, the next year we went to 2017 Florida where we got the Hail Mary put on us.
Oh, it still hurts.
That was a rough one. So
my
streak of picking SEC road games isn't great.
It's pretty
good. Everyone we've been to has been memorable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But Auburn last year, we had so much fun. It was crazy.
We need to start like a GoFundMe or something for her road game tickets in attendance.
I haven't decided where we're going. We haven't decided where we're going this year, but
it's
got to be a big one.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. Real quick, I think we only have four away games because there's no neutral site game. So Alabama, Florida, Missouri, and one more. Kentucky.
Yeah. So we've been to Florida, so we're not going back there.
Yeah, I wouldn't go. No, I wouldn't go there.
Not sure if we want to go to Alabama this year.
No, you don't. You definitely don't. So Missouri or Kentucky?
Yep, one of those two.
Kentucky's not far.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Columbia, Missouri is far.
Yes,
no,
it
I'm just
is.
Saying.
And it's cold when we
saying.
Play them.
Yeah, yep. It will be very cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. AJ continues on this Auburn. Or no, that was it for Auburn. He moves on to another game, Kentucky football this year. Another great game. AJ starts by saying Tennessee's 2018 season didn't exactly flip around after the above win against Auburn. They followed it up with a shellacking at the hands of Alabama, a disappointing loss to South Carolina, and a sleeper against lowly Charlotte. So, of course, when Kentucky came to town in the middle of their best football season ever, they would extend their win streak over Tennessee in football to two games. Just kidding. Tennessee doesn't lose to Kentucky in football.
Nope.
And if they do, it hasn't happened twice since the first year Jimmy Carter was in office and You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone was number one on the charts.
Dang.
I don't even know who the hell that is, and I like to think I listen to a lot of music. Yeah, I don't know who Debbie Boone is either. Do you?
Yeah, no.
Do you know who that is?
I can't
You Light Up My
song.
Life? I don't even know if I know that song either.
Yeah, I can't even think of that song. I don't know
what
it would be.
You know what that means?
It's been a while.
Yep.
It's been a minute. Let's see. He continues. It was the Tennessee defense's turn to be dominant in this upset of a top 25 team. Darrell Taylor went buck wild with four sacks, while the rest of the defense bottled up two-time All-SEC running back Benny Snell, only allowing 85 yards rushing on 34 attempts. Kentucky would score a garbage-time touchdown with less than 2 minutes left. But by then, it was too late. Tennessee 24, Kentucky 7. I'll tell you what. I know we say it a lot. We have callers call in and say it the same thing. Tennessee should beat Kentucky every year in football. You know, basketball is kind of a different story. But they did have the best team they've ever had. I don't know their history as a whole. But I'm going to go with this is the best team they've ever had. I mean, they went, 10-2, including a bowl, or 10-3, including a bowl win? Is that correct? Didn't they win 10 games this year?
So, yeah, I think so.
So 9-3, 10-3 overall with the bowl win. Mm-hmm. I'd say that's the best season they've ever had. And then to come into Neyland with against one of the worst teams Tennessee has had outside of last year's team, and absolutely get beat down, it warmed my heart. It really did. I was sitting right behind the Kentucky bench, and I'll tell you what, along with my boy and your boy, Daniel Brackman, we were giving it to him.
Oh,
we were giving
that.
It to him.
Love that.
We weren't sitting close, but we were there.
D-Brack yeah. attack on the
He was. I'll tell you what. He was out of his mind.
Yeah, they did go 10-3 last season.
Yeah.
So
by far the best team with the best talent they've had. Still cannot beat Tennessee. And then real quick, before we hit another break, the last game of the piece, Kentucky basketball 2019 times two. AJ says, a 2-for-1, the perfect way to end this series. Pick either one of the Tennessee wins over Kentucky in basketball to go on this list because they were both really, really enjoyable. In one, it was a dominant win to avenge a humiliating loss just a few weeks earlier in a rare top 10 matchup in Thompson Bowling Arena. Tennessee dismantled the favored Wildcats in almost every facet of the game. Grant Williams and Jordan Bone both had days to remember, scoring 24 and 27 respectively. Excuse me, about to burp. A breakaway dunk from the Admiral put an exclamation point on one of the most lopsided Tennessee wins in the history of the Tennessee-Kentucky rivalry. On the other hand, it was a knockdown, dragout game in the semifinals of the SEC tournament. The rubber match between these two teams was fantastic and stressful for everyone involved. Kentucky was in control for most of the second half, with Tennessee struggling on offense, but a late combined 7 points from Turner and Bone iced the game away, giving Tennessee its second consecutive berth in the SEC tournament final. Game one, Tennessee 71, Kentucky 52. I forgot how much we killed them.
And then
game two, 82-78. A lot closer, but still got the W. I don't know about y'all. I love these kind of series. I know we kind of make, and I say we as like, you know, people that do radio and people that have to talk about stuff like this every day. But during the summer, you know, it's called list season for a reason. Mm-hmm. There's no real news going on. There's the MLB going on, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I like baseball to an extent, but I cannot sit up here and talk about it for 2 straight hours every night.
Yeah, if I don't think anyone wants to hear that either.
And I don't think anybody wants to hear it. That's a good point. And if I had to, I'd be out of a job. Yep. I would. I'd be out there on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, I love stuff like this, especially when it's on the positive side. As I mentioned earlier, AJ did have a heartbreaking losses piece, which was equally as good, but the heartwarming wins. You got to love the heartwarming wins. Hopefully we'll have some this season, but we'll have to wait and see. Yeah. So congratulations to you, Mr. AJ Cook. I know you're out there listening. Great job on both of the series, and cannot wait for your next one. Let's see. Let's go ahead and hit the next break of this hour. Coming up next, we'll talk about that NCAA scandal, basketball scandal I mentioned. And then right before we go to the top of the hour, we will do our Mount Rushmore segment. I think we've got a new topic. I don't believe we did this one last year. If we did, I can't remember. I think it's a good one. It's a very tasty one as well. I will leave it at that. But we'll do that and more for the rest of the show. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back to the program. Copperhead Road, one of the greatest songs ever, one of the greatest bumpers we have. Julia, good pick by you.
Thank you.
One of my favorites. It always gets me pumped up. NCAA, it seems like they're always in somebody's business, whether they need to be or not. It's like that friend you have that's very nosy, thinks they know everything, and just won't shut up. That's the NCAA.
They always got to know what's going on with you.
Yeah, and guess what? They're up to it again. This from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. He released an article yesterday entitled, "At least 6 college basketball programs will be notified of major NCAA violations by this summer." Mr. Dodd starts off by saying at least 6 Division I men's basketball programs will receive notices of allegations from Level 1 violations from the NCAA by the summer, stemming from the federal government's recently completed investigation of the sport, a top NCAA official told CBS Sports. Stan Wilcox, the NCAA Vice President for Regulatory Affairs, said 2 high-profile programs would receive notices of allegations by early July. The remaining 4 would be rolled out later in the summer, and what we described as a wave of NCAA investigations meant to clean up major college basketball. Mr. Wilcox is quoted in saying, There's even another group of cases that we're still working on. The main thing is that we're up and ready. We're moving forward, and you'll see consequences. Ooh. They go on to talk about, Mr. Dodd does, level one violations are considered the most serious by the NCAA. They carry the strongest punishments that can include scholarship reductions, postseason bans, and show cause orders against coaches. According to the NCAA, a notice of allegations is sent after an investigation has closed. It has previously been reported that at least Kansas, Arizona, and Louisville had been under NCAA investigation. At least 20 schools were mentioned during the course of the FBI's investigation. Among others were Oklahoma State, USC, Auburn, and LSU. He would not name any of the schools involved, that being Mr. Wilcox. Let's see here. I would just say that it's clear when you look at the number of cases that were listed by the Southern District of New York, those numbers will more than likely be reflected in the number of cases that are going to be moving forward, said Wilcox, a former Florida State athletic director and Notre Dame basketball player. When the original FBI indictments were handed down in September of 2017, there were reports that top head coaches would be implicated in wrongdoing. Who do y'all think? I mean, I know, let's see. We already know that Kansas, Arizona, Louisville, Oklahoma State, USC, Auburn, and LSU have been under investigation by the FBI, especially LSU. We know that, even though it doesn't look like anything's going to happen. But when he says in here, let me scroll back up, two high-profile programs would receive notices of allegations by early July, do you think that is Kansas and Arizona, even though I don't know if you can really put those two as top tier, even though they are pretty good, or do you think it's some of the best right now?
Wasn't Duke in, weren't Duke and Clemson implemented in something like a month ago or so?
You know, that sounds right. I can't remember off the top of my head really what it was. I think Clemson sounds right. Duke, I don't know. I'd have to look into that, but I believe you're right about Clemson.
Yeah, wasn't that one guy bragging about trying to get Zion
Or something? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because it kind of tied in a way to Clemson football as well.
Yeah,
He was bragging about, I totally forgot about that. He was bragging about, I guess, the kind of recruits they get or how they get them or something like that, but he didn't really go into it, so I guess I can't dive too deep into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was other schools like that. But I'm kind of
I don't see the NCAA going after like the Dukes and the North Carolinas.
Yeah.
They never have. I just don't think they will.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
And like the past like 2 years has been all this stuff coming out about Auburn and LSU and Arizona and stuff. And I mean, maybe they will. Maybe something's going to happen. But I feel like nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, Will Wade was suspended for the tournament and whatnot, but he got reinstated right after.
He's still their coach.
Yeah, I don't know what punishments are going on. I don't know. I'm so tired of the NCAA.
Yeah, it's all a slap on the wrist. The NCAA, the problem with me with the NCAA is that they only really do severe punishments to the teams and the programs that aren't really the moneymakers in the given sport. You look at, I'm trying to think who it was. It was one of the California schools just a couple months ago. I think they like gave their student athletes something like maybe like an extra I think it was closer to about $100, maybe $150 extra for like books and stuff or food and stuff or something from their scholarships. It's like they did the math wrong and the NCAA took a huge amount of scholarships away from, I can't remember who it was. That's one of those small California schools. But then you look at people like LSU, like you mentioned, you know, Will Wade. Yeah, we know he's paying players. We know.
Yeah.
But he's still there for God knows why. Maybe because he's winning and the NCAA loves to win and they won't punish the winners. You look at stuff like that. You look at North Carolina and all the fake classes they had going on and nothing happened to them. You look at Coach Calipari, all the stuff he's done at every stop, whether it was UMass, Memphis, now Kentucky, everything he's done,
yep.
He's still revered as one of the best coaches in college basketball. So we know that whoever these two high-profile programs are probably not going to be punished severely. You would hope they would, but I don't see the NCAA changing their mind on that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I still think Kansas is one of those. I just don't know if they're going to put Arizona as that high profile. I know they've been good for, you know, for a while. You know, they did have, what's his name?
Ayton.
Yeah. A couple years ago. But then when their coach kind of got busted, you know, this last season was just not good.
Yeah. Oh, they're not, they haven't been, they don't have a historic, like, they're not known for their basketball. Yeah.
So I don't think that's one. I just don't know who the other one would be. I don't think it's going to be one of the big three. Well, big four, Kansas already mentioned. I don't think it's going to be Duke. I don't think it's going to be North Carolina. And I don't think it's going to be Kentucky. So I don't know who else you could put in there. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could throw in Virginia maybe. I mean, they've been pretty good as of late. They did just win a Natty.
Yeah. Maybe Michigan.
I mean, maybe that's why their coach went to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Maybe. You never know.
Fingers crossed, Florida. I don't know.
That'd be nice.
Mike, I would love if it was Florida because they suck so bad this year, and now they're going to get hit with all these penalties. That would just be the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's them, though, but that would be phenomenal. So it will be interesting to see who the NCAA will hammer with these allegations and these suspensions, I'm sure, of scholarships and funds and whatnot. But, all day I've been reading this and thinking about it, and I just don't know who these two – high profile programs are. I mean, like I just said, it's not going to be the biggest boys.
No.
It might be somebody who's been good for, you know, a while now, made a name for themselves. But when you look and think of it historically, I don't think it's going to be one of these blue blood programs because they've never punished them before. Why are they going to do it now?
Yeah,
that's
like
the money
you said,
makers.
Yeah, they're the money makers.
I'm thinking maybe like Villanova, but they're like a Catholic. I don't know. I just don't see them.
Yeah,
getting
Villanova.
Good basketball program.
Yeah, and then they've won a couple in the past few years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't see, like, they've never been implicated in anything, really, that I remember.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see. It'll be interesting when all this comes out. I mean, it says, let's see, the two high-profile programs would receive notices of allegations by early July, and we're sitting at June 13th. So, what, two and change weeks or something we should know?
Same.
So it'll be interesting to see. Let's just say it is a Kentucky, a Duke, or a North Carolina, because everybody knows that something's going on at all three programs, but nobody wants to be the whistleblower. Let's say it is one of these, if not two of these high-profile teams. We've already said that NCAA isn't going to do anything severe. How much of a punishment do you think the NCAA would give one of those three if they are one of these two high-profile programs? Do you think they'll do what they did to North Carolina not too long ago and just kind of slap them on the wrist? As long as they tell the truth, that's fine.
Yeah.
Or do you think they're going to take away scholarships, take away postseason runs, postseason bans? What do you think?
I think they're just going to do what they did to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a nonprofit organization, they sure do love their money.
They do.
They love their money. They don't want their big boys –
they're sure as hell not going to give a postseason ban because they make so much money in the NCAA tournament. And if they don't have the Dukes and the North Carolinas and the Kentuckys, I mean, that's going to be bad for them.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. Yeah, it's the whole thing's a mess. You know, every time we see something like this, it seems like every year something's coming out. And every time we see it, everybody's like, oh, man, finally. We're finally going to get him. Coach Cal, you're going now. Coach K, see ya. Roy, bye. They're still here.
No.
Yeah,
they're still here. They're still in the ear in the back pocket of these NCAA officials. They're going to be around as long as they want to. So if you think something's going to happen to them, it's going to have to be something like straight murder or something like that.
Something
or like
bad.
Some kind of like sex trafficking or something going on to really get them hammered. But if they're just paying recruits, I don't think that's enough. Even though you would hope and it should be enough because for everybody else that's not a blue blood, you can bet your money on it that their scholarships, their postseason runs, postseason bans are being handed out unless you're good. So if you suck, sorry. If you're good, you can do what you want.
Yep.
We'll have to wait and see, but it will be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks. Let's go ahead and take another break this hour. On the other side, I teased it last segment. I'll go ahead and tell you what we're doing. I said it will be tasty, and it will be tasty. On today's Mount Rushmore, I feel like every time we do a Mount Rushmore about food, hour two, I'm starving the entire time.
Yes.
It's going to be the same way.
After
it's
we
be
did
the, same
the wings,
way.
Oh, man, I was craving wings so bad.
Me too. It's going to be the same way today. as I told y'all before the show out here in the lobby, I had some donuts this morning. I'm sitting there eating them, and I'm thinking, man, what should we do tonight for Mount Rushmore? And then it hit me. We're going to do our Mount Rushmore of different types of donuts.
Yes.
So y'all have your list ready. Mine has been typed out for a good 5 to 6 hours now. I cannot wait to get into it.
Can't wait to hear it.
We will all share our Mount Rushmore of donuts on the other side. Do not miss it. You are listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio. I just want to use your love tonight. All right. We talked about it enough just a couple minutes ago before we went to break. Mount Rushmore segment. You know it. You love it. It's the donut segment. I don't think we did it last year. I don't think we did. I'm pretty sure we did ice cream last year, and we might do that this year, hopefully. Big ice cream fan. But I don't think we did donuts. So without further ado, we will give our Mount Rushmore of donuts. Julia, hit it. Okay, I'll go ahead and start.
Go ahead, Cole.
I've been excited about it all day. Number one for me, you can't go wrong with a classic original glaze. Original glaze, it has to make the list. You dunk it in coffee. You just eat it warm and or hot, depending on where you go. You don't even have to chew. It's just like the pressure from your mouth is enough.
Just melts it.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. So that's definitely number one. Number two, it's a glazed donut, but the one with the chocolate frosting. I don't know what you'd call that. I don't want to say a chocolate donut because there are like chocolate cake.
I think they're chocolate glazed.
Chocolate glazed, chocolate frosted, something like that.
Yeah.
That's definitely number two. That's the go-to if there are no glazed. Next for me, I've never been a huge fan of like the cream or like jelly jam-filled donuts. But I'll tell you what, strawberry-filled
is
one of my favorites. Strawberries are my favorite kind of berries. Mm-hmm. Strawberry donuts, one of my favorite donuts. I love it. It's the right amount of strawberry, and it's one of my favorites. And last but certainly not least, my favorite donut of all time. And I don't know what y'all are going to say about it because some people don't like it at all, and I don't understand it. But the blueberry cake donut, my favorite of all time.
Big fan. Big fan.
I'm a huge – I'll tell you what. I could go for 12 right now.
Yeah.
Best donut ever. Who's next?
I'll go next. So my first one – I think I'm pretty sure I'm basing this off of Dunkin' Donuts. All four of mine, you can get at Dunkin' Donuts. I'm sure you can get them at other places too, but I'm a big Dunkin' Donuts fan, so this is where I get them.
Okay.
Old Fashioned is my first one.
Okay.
There's no glaze, no sugar on it. It's just a cake donut, and I love dipping them in my coffee.
That is good.
It is the best.
It is good.
Next is the double chocolate. So not the chocolate glaze, but the one that's all chocolate.
Yeah.
With the glaze on top of it. Oh my gosh, I love it. I also had the blueberry blueberry glazed.
King
of that's a recent find for me. I just found that probably 3 or 4 months ago.
I grew up on those, and I am happy I did.
Yeah. I love it. And then my fourth one is the powdered donut.
Of course. They're messy.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
They're messy, I know, but I love them.
Yeah, I love them too. Matt, what you got?
All right, so my number one spot's, of course, going to the classic Krispy Kreme Hot Light glazed donut.
Can't beat it, man. Hot now. Can't beat it.
It's heaven on earth. My number two is those little crullers. I think that's what they're called.
Yeah.
Little twist.
Those
bags you can get at Publix full of like the mini ones.
Yeah.
I could go through like four of them and just gas them down.
Those are good.
Yeah.
My third one is going to be the donut holes. The one that, like the little box you can get at Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure.
Yep.
I love those. Gas those down too.
I'm with you.
And then my final one is probably just the Long John, you know, the long cream filled chocolate. Donut.
Yeah.
Big.
You like the cream filled?
Yeah. I'm not a big jelly guy.
I'm not
a big jelly. And I like just jelly on like a PBJ or something.
Right.
But, yeah.
But not in the donut.
Yeah. For some reason, I just don't like it on my donuts.
You know, I'm with you on that. I like I mentioned, I like that strawberry filled. But when it comes to like cream and stuff, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just nasty.
Yeah.
Because, okay, here's what it is for me. If you take a big enough bite out of one, it all hits the back of your throat.
Yeah, you gotta
and
be
it's
careful.
Nasty.
You gotta be careful.
I mean, all of the strawberry jelly ones I've had for the most part, you know, you get a consistent amount of dough, and the jelly/jam, whatever it's made out of. But yeah, when it comes to, like, because some people like the Boston cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never been a huge fan of Boston
no,
cream.
No, I haven't been either.
Trying to think of the other kind of jellies. Is strawberry jelly the only kind of jelly donut?
I think it might.
I kind of think it is too, because I'm sitting here now thinking.
I can't think of any grape jelly donuts.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I've never had a grape donut. I've never had like a blueberry. That might be the only kind of jelly.
Yeah.
And see, I don't know.
I'm not a big strawberry. I don't like strawberries. I know that's
really?
It's a hot take. It's pretty strange. But yeah.
Not a big. Are you a? Do you like fruit, or do you don't just like strawberries?
I like fruit.
Okay.
I love grape jelly, but mm-hmm. yeah, I just could never get behind the strawberries.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I understand that to an extent. When I was younger, and when I say younger, I mean like child. I wasn't a huge fan of strawberry because I grew up on grape. When I would have a PB&J, it's grape jelly and Jif.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now that I'm older and my palate. Has been exposed to jelly donuts and, or excuse me, strawberry jelly donuts and just strawberries in general. I can't, once I start eating them, I can't put it down. I'll tell you who I blame. I blame my grandmother, my mama. I blame her because she makes her own strawberry jam for biscuits.
Oh, I bet
got
it's
me hooked.
Gas.
Got me hooked.
Yeah.
So I blame her. All right, that'll do it for hour number one. Hour number two on deck. Stick with us. You're listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio.